It's good to see you, Jimmy, this morning. And so I want to share with you, we have a block party at our house every Sunday night. And it started with, if you've been to my house, most of you know all that we're out in the country, and we come in and then there's a row of houses. We got a green thing in the middle. And it's constant, like 2 acre things all the way down here. Well, about maybe now, it's probably close to 6 months or a year ago, the man way down here on the corner, we live at the end of the road, and Mark and Mary live down here. Mark is absolutely, he's just precious. And his little wife is from Brazil. And so they live there on the corner and they have 2 little children. And next to them is Bob, who is 80. And next to them is a recluse that she won't have anything to do with us. And next to them is, over here, this dear sweet lady, Sandy Tillbaum. And she's already come in to be a member of our church. And next to them is Stan and Cindy. And Stan has Parkinson's disease and has lost part of one lung due to cancer. And so there's just one more there that has not come to our Bible class, and that's the whole row. Well, Bob, who was next door to, well, we'll start with, this is going to be important, so I'm taking time to do this. Mark stopped Rob after Caden had gotten killed. He has a little boy about, I think, in the 5th grade. And he stopped Rob and said, "I don't know how you're handling this." And so Rob began to tell him the only reason he was handling this is because of Jesus, Holy Spirit, and his faith God, or we could not handle the loss of our precious Caden. And so anyway, Rob said, "Well, it's because of my faith in God." And they got to talking and they decided, well, we'd have a Bible class with Mark. So it starts with Mark and Mary, and they start coming. And then Caden's Bible teacher, who did Caden's funeral, is the one that is our teacher on that time. And he has married a lady that has 4 children. 2 of them are black, 2 of them are white. And they're the cutest bunch of people you ever saw. Anyway, we have all of these. And then Mark and Mary have a little boy and a little girl. And so we've been studying. And so Mark would say, "I went to church one time when I was young and I didn't like it and I hadn't been back since." He don't know church from straight up. And so when we gave him the Bible, he couldn't find anything in it. So all of the time that they have been meeting, the youngest child of the preachers is in the 4th grade maybe, sitting next to Bob. And when Bob couldn't find any, you know, he couldn't find Genesis because he didn't know what Genesis was. Well, this little guy said he'd find what he needed and he'd put it in his lap real quietly. And so this went on and on, and we kept studying, and every once in a while Bob would say, "I don't understand this. This is not a story I ever had." Well, we've tried to encourage him. It's not a story. Anyway, I have known Bob, I guess, 20 years. I always talked to Bob as we walked. I'd meet him. Bob took care of his mother until she was 103 and died. He's got a heart as big as his. Anyway, to make things a little bit further along down the line, Mark and Mary in their faith said, "Well, we need to get Bob to come to class." And so Bob came to class and then got studied. And so about 3 weeks ago, Bob decided that he wanted to surrender to the Lord after all this time. Sunday night at my house in the baptismal pool. Well, you think we don't have a baptismal, that we have one out at my house. Anyway, when he said he was going to be baptized, well, the little guy that had been finding all of the scriptures for him, he said, "I've been thinking about being baptized, but I want to be baptized with Bob. And I want Bob to hold my hand." Well, the little girl next door who knows Bob real well told her daddy then Sunday, "Well, I want to be baptized too." She's in the 3rd or 4th grade. So we had a little worship service, and Bob had about 12 friends, and I had put name tags on everybody when we first started because Bob said, "I don't know any of these people." So we put name tags on them, and all of these 12 people were his friends through the years. He said, he called me and he said, "Where do you buy those name tag things?" And I told him. He said, "Well, I don't want my friends to feel left out." So he had made name tags for all of them, and they came. And anyway, it's the sweetest baptism I've ever seen. We had service there with everybody. We took communion together. We mixed all of his friends together, with all the neighbors together, with some of the people from church together. We had 50 people roaming through the house. Anyway, and then we all met out at the pool. Well, when they were baptized, Brad, who is the little boy's daddy, had him under in front of him. Rob, who's this tall, had little Bob this tall in front of him. And then Christy was holding the little girl in her arms. And so when they were baptized, Bob had the little boy's hand here and the little girl's hand here, and all three of them were baptized together. And that was such a sweet story. And don't ever think you can't touch your neighbors. And so we want everybody to know Jesus. And this is kind of what Colossians is all about. Let's start on that now. But I just want y'all to know. And also, we had a meeting Sunday night, and we were expecting 200, nearly 500 showed up of teenagers. And we had, this is through our memorial service that we have set with Caden, One Day Closer. All of these people showed up, and there was, I think that Christy said 13 wanted to know more. These are just teenagers. And then about 10 wanted to confess that they wanted Jesus for their Savior. And then we're going to be baptized in about a dozen more in our pool in 2 weeks. So God, it's the harvest is ripe. The young people everywhere in all of their colleges are coming in mobs to the Lord, because it's not any peace anywhere else. So anytime that you are not aware of what's going on, you think the world's going to hell in a handbasket. It's not, because the power of the word is going forth. Amen.
Amen.
We may get around to having class yet. If we don't, we'll do it next week. Look at the back side of the sheet. You know, I'm a real history nut, and that's just the way it is, and putting things in contact. Okay, we look at Colossae. Look at your map, and I've circled it. Do you see Philadelphia, Laodicea, and Colossae? And then if you go to your left, Ephesus is right on the coast there. It's about 100 miles from Ephesus over to these three cities right here. And they're real close together. They're about maybe 6 miles apart. This is one of the richest valleys far as commerce is concerned in Asia at this time. When Babylon fell, a lot of the people that were Jewish people were taken into this area as slaves. Well, this, where this river comes down, this is a river valley with tall mountains on each side of it, and they're volcano mountains. And I didn't know this about chalk. They said when all of this blew, that there was a lot of chalk that landed all over the top of these mountains. I didn't know where chalk come from. Y'all know where chalk came from? I didn't either, but I don't know a lot of things. Anyway, all these mountains were covered to a certain extent with white, and they were just gorgeous above this river valley. But then after years and years, that went away. And you know that anything, the soil from volcanoes after it becomes dirt, is the richest dirt you can find. And you know, things just grow. And so due to both of those things, there was all of these mountains that had just lots and lots and lots of sheep on them, because they could graze so many. So after a while, Philadelphia becomes a real strong Jewish. The reason of that we know this, because you had to send tithes back to the temple each year, and it showed that there were 50,000 Jews living in Philadelphia. And that was how much gold was going out of there, and it was making Rome, who was over them, a little bit mad, because there was so much money going back to the temple. So that's Philadelphia, very rich town with very, very high population of Jews. And then Laodicea was where all of the people that owned all those sheep were on in that area there. And they said that the wool and the thread, all of you that do kneading will know this, it was so beautiful. The only thing I could think of was the stuff that comes from goats. You know that, how fine that is. Anyway, it absorbed dye better than anything that in any part of the world. So the whole area of Asia would buy woolens from this next little city in here. And so it was known as the woolen capital of the whole region. Also, you know, when we were studying Genesis, that we learned about Lydia. She was a dealer in purple. This is probably where she got her purple from. In fact, some of the people even think that Lydia was the name of the purple dye. It may have been what she took for a name, just to put her back with that area where all of this wool is so good. Anyway, that ties all of this together because Lydia landed up in Philippi over here as a dealer in purple. And then you have down here Colossae. Colossae is the one that's mainly on the road, the trade routes, where you've got them coming out of China and that area there going across to Rome and Rome going across this direction. So all three of these little towns were very, very rich. But Colossae is mainly Gentiles, not Jewish people. And at this time, I've seen things like this before that I think may have been what it was. They said that what their faith had been before they learned about Jesus was they were scared of everything. They knew there were monsters in the ocean. They thought there were demons in the air, demons in the rain, demons in the clouds, demons in the rock. They were just terrified that the demons was going to get them all the time. So they would have very special times where they would try to do away with the demons. And then on top of that, with Colossae, this Jewish influence here, they decided to go that these people coming to the Lord as Gentiles needed to know more than Jesus. They needed to know all of the old law. They needed to become Jews before they, Jewish people, proselytes before they could become Christians. So this is what Paul is writing this letter about, is to protect these younger Gentiles who they have been told, only thing you need is Jesus. Also, there was another spiritual thing going on here, that since all the evil that they had known all these times with all these monsters in the air, well, that was the human part. And so the human part of us is, you can't do anything with it, it's all evil. And the spiritual part's the only thing that you can bring to the Lord. So they had some real mixed up thinking. And this is, you'll pick this up in 2nd and 3rd John where they're talking about this. And so they come to this conclusion that Jesus could not have been a man and been sinless because he had the flesh and blood of a human. So this is all the pressure that's going into Colossae now. You need to make sure you hold on to all of this so you don't have this tear up here. You need to make sure that you're doing what all the Jewish people. But then Jesus and the people that had come to give them the gospel, Jesus is all we need. So this is the reinforcement that he is trying to give to these people where they are so that they will stay strong in the Lord and not lose their faith. So that's the background. And this is here, you see all that kind of. We'll go now into Colossians. So, Paul, an apostle means he's one sent out. And you know, Paul was sent out by Jesus when he was contacted on the road to Damascus. And then when he came to the Lord on the third day, and Jesus told him that he would be the one that would be sent to the Gentile people. There may be Jewish people in here, but I'm not aware of it. We as Gentiles coming to the Lord help fulfill the promise given to Abraham, because God promised Abraham all the people of the world would be blessed through him, his seed, singular, Jesus. And so you are extremely important to fulfill the prophecy that started with Abraham as much as the Jewish race was. And so in the fullness of time, that scripture, God sent his son, in the flesh to lead us and show us God. He had to, that's what Jesus' purpose was, to show us God, to teach for God, to give us God's word. And so he sends Paul, and Paul goes all the way through Asia, all over to finally to Ephesus and Philippi, with a submission of bringing all the Gentiles to faith in this area. And Colossae happened to be one of those places. And another man that was really receptive to that taught and brought these people to faith. Paul had never been to this city. But Tychicus came and told him about it. And so he is going back to encourage these people that have obeyed the gospel and come to Jesus. So it goes on, and Timothy's with him, and it says, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae, we are the holy and blessed people of Christ. Also, we are part of this family. This is part of our church. And it says, we always thank God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. It is so important to know that you have to have more than just your acknowledgement. Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You have to realize that you are now a part of his body. And everybody of us in here is why we have such a kinship, is by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are a part of Jesus and we are a part of his body. And so no longer would you treat anybody that is a believer in Jesus with anything but love and care than you would when you stumble your big toe against something. It hurts. My neighbor was standing across the street. He said, I stuck my foot in a shoe and I got a sting from a scorpion on my big toe. He said, I've never had anything hurt so bad in my life. And so I don't care what's hurting. It's a part of your body. And you may not know why anybody's hurting, but they are a part of this body. And so you are to not only believe in Jesus, you also should have the love for each other. And this is what God is commending this church for and through Paul. He says, then he goes on, he said, and the faith and love that sprang from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. The hope that we have is Jesus Christ. We would have no hope if he had not come and lived as a human being and offered up himself as a sacrifice and showed us God and opened the way back to God for God to forgive our sins. And so you cannot separate the hope, and notice where it comes from. It comes from heaven. If you have hope and you have hope, and you know, you'll hear, well, it didn't bother me so much that it does bother you, but there is hope when someone dies, that you will see them again. And that's what Rob, my grandson, says all the time, that I am wanting and can't wait to, number one is to run to Jesus who made this possible. And then number two, to see my son again. So if you have that hope of eternal life, it comes from one source. It comes because Jesus died for you to take your sins away. And so it goes on then and said, and the truth, the gospel that has come to you, all over the world, the gospel is bearing forth fruit and growing, and that has been doing among you since the day you heard and understand God's grace in all of its truth. He's encouraging them. You came to faith. You are among these people. You understood it. And so continue to look at Jesus, because he is the source of faith and he is the source of hope. And you learned it, it said, from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who has told us of your love in the Spirit. So Paul is locked up in prison in Rome, but they have people going back and forth all the time because they come and get his letters, they take it to the church, and then when they take it to the church, they go back to Paul to tell him how the church is doing. And so he is so encouraged with this church that's growing in Colossae because of the ministering of this man that took in there and brought him the gospel. And it says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge. And notice here, these are the questions that we had. And what does God want to do with us? He said he's asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. That was why I chose this song, Take Time to Be Holy. If you don't take time to stay in the Word, if you don't take time to go in prayer, if you just go and hear a sermon once a week, you're missing it. You need to be blessed more than that. So it takes time. It takes time, and you have to deliberately set aside time to come to know the Lord and His will. And if you do this, notice what's going to happen. You'll have all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may do what? Live life worthy of the Lord. We had a whole class on this about 3 weeks ago from one of our dear teachers. How we walk worthy. If you've forgotten that, pull out that sheet and go back on it again. Every one of these are stacked one on top of the other. You find one layer and you add another layer. And you begin to grow and your faith begins to deepen. And you begin to be more and more worthy to live as God wants you to live. That you may please Him in every way. Everything that we do has one purpose. Please Him. It doesn't matter what somebody says about you. It doesn't matter what somebody thinks about you. That is not important. What is important is that you're growing in faith, you're growing in wisdom, you're growing in knowledge, and you are growing in love for the brethren. It says growing in the knowledge of God, and this is what's going to happen, being strengthened with all power. Where's all power come from? God. It's not something that you get at the gym. All power is from God. If you have any power to overcome anything, to be encouraged in any way, it has root that it has come from God. It has come through Jesus who came to show us God in the beginning. And it says that you, so you may have great, this will give you endurance. I have endured for 50, going on 51 years. Well, I think I'm already 51. Maybe on to 52 years. What has been my rock ever since I was little, 10 years old is when I came to the Lord. That's what I've stood on. And there's been a lot of hurricanes. Any of us that lived any time, you're going to have storms. And so the only way that you're going to endure those storms and have patience, you think, well, this is never going to end. Well, eventually it does. Then you look back on it, well, God was there all the time, but He sure wasn't very evident at the time. And joyfully giving thanks to the Father. You know, even Paul said, and down at the end of this letter, he said, I have been blessed to suffer for the Lord. He was joyfully in chains, tied to a guard every 8 hours. They changed him. He nearly brought the whole guard system to the Lord because they have changed with him for 8 hours a day, 24 hours a day, and they couldn't get away. So he preached in front of them. And so he said that was the purpose of God. We needed to work on all of the people that's here in Rome that did not know the Lord. So he thanks God for everything that he has endured. And it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance. You are His children. You are the children of God. And you will live with Him forever. And so that inheritance, Jesus as our brother has come in through Jesus. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. He's putting the point here how important Jesus is, and there is no need for any help from anybody else or any other thing that somebody might try to do for them. Notice what God's done. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. The closest thing I've seen, and I don't know really the background of it, is seeing the celebrations of coming out of the Chinese people with the dragons and things. I'm not saying that they worship a dragon. I just know that there has been a lot of things that was glorified and enhanced in things. And I'm not saying they're right or wrong, but I just think they've had all of these kind of things going on to keep down all of these monsters that lived in the deep and lived in the air. And he said, your protection is not with those great parties like that. They may be fine, but that is not what the party, that is not where you get your strength. Your strength is in God and in Jesus and in the gospel. We're rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son He loves. That's, of course, Jesus. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So that whole thing there is summed up in 14. Jesus is in whom we have redemption. Anything is redemption, is redeemed, it is bought back. He has bought us out of slavery. He has bought us out of sin. He has brought us out of darkness. And what he purchased that with was his life and his death and his ascension back to the Father, where he reigns and intercedes all the time for us. He hasn't sat down and quit working for us. Jesus intercedes constantly by the power of the Holy Spirit, helps us to pray. And it goes through Jesus, and Jesus intercedes to us for the Father to bless us and answer our prayers, which he has done so liberally here. So then, the supremacy of Christ. All of this is coming down to this right in here. Now, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. This right here has thrown a few people. I know that it bothered Rusty. He said, I don't understand this firstborn. This firstborn is talking about Jesus that has been born in the flesh. He was not born and started then. He had been from eternity, past eternity, and that's what it's talking about him. He is the creator. He's always been here. Before he is firstborn, he has firstborn into this world to bring us to be a part of the family. He is our older brother. We have the same inheritance as Jesus has with the Father. He is our firstborn. He is the one that opened the door. And it says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. If you've been wondering why the world is here, it's a gift from God to his Son. And, you know, we studied at the beginning of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and he was there, and he was the light, and he was the creator, and he is always been there. You know, we talk about God being the creator. God is the Son, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You cannot divide them. They all have different purposes and different parts. God's the Father, Jesus is the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the one that brings all of that information to us by the power. The Holy Spirit, you know, in the beginning, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and God said, let there be light, and then the Holy Spirit moves upon the deep. You go back and start reading all of the Bible, the Holy Spirit's always there. He's moving over the deep. He's there in creation. It's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit who brings it in here, but Jesus is the architect. But God is wanting a beautiful gift to be given to Jesus. And at the end, he said, all who have come by faith to realize this and to be a part of this, we are a gift from God to Jesus. And that is the proof of his love and his fellowship and how much we meant to him to be able to bring all of us to glory. And see, it's over all authority, everything. And notice, he is before all things. In him all things hold together. By his word, he can destroy this planet or he can keep it going. That's how much power Jesus has. And he is the head of the body, the church. That's why when anybody says anything about the church, it really rises my hackles. Because you are the body of Christ. Somebody can talk to me about me, but don't let them talk about one of you or they're going to hear from me. Because you are a part of Jesus' body. And we are not going to behave with that kind of thing. And so he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. See, he has to be the one, he said, because he was raised from the dead. He is the firstborn. There's another firstborn. Overcoming death. And then we also can overcome death. But he was the first one that was raised. There's a lot of gospel in here. And it says, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace. If you're not at peace, you need to spend more time in this, make time to be holy. That's where your peace comes from. When you spend time with Jesus and you realize what all he does and what all he's doing, it's big. And then you can rest because he's got it. And so the blood shed on the cross is what was the price that had to be paid. So this is us. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of the evil behavior, but now you have been reconciled. Reconciled is to bring you back to God. He were created to be God's, and He wants you to come back to Him. He wants you to be a part of Him, and He wants you to be His child. You, by Christ's physical body, everything that God Jesus did by being born of a woman, by living a sinless life, by being persecuted, everything that He did all the time He was living is as important to you as when He died. So go back and look at all of that. Through death to present you. And this is what He's doing. Now notice, you are holy in His sight, without blemish, and free from accusations. Nobody can say anything against you. You're free of accusations. If you continue in your faith established and firm and not moving from the hope held in the gospel, this is the gospel you heard that you have been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, in which I, Paul, became a servant. And so He's wanting everybody there to realize you do not need anything but Jesus, but you do need Jesus. And so don't let people throw you. Don't listen to people or error or evil people. They'll say, well, you couldn't possibly believe that. Yes, I can, by the power of the Lord. So, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you. See, this is Paul. He's in prison. You know, when he was going to all these churches, every once in a while there, they'd beat him up, throw him outside of one of these towns, and they'd think he was dead, and eventually somebody'd go pick him up and bring him back in. He has suffered mightily. That's what also when Jesus called Paul to Himself on the road to Damascus, He said, you will suffer. And Paul suffered and suffered and suffered to bring to all of these people Jesus the Christ. He said, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up my flesh with what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. Your saints, lady. Your saints. And to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is so important. Do you realize you have been chosen by God? We all who have faith in Jesus have been individually chosen by God. And our whole existence is to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches. Anywhere you are, anywhere you work, you are preaching a sermon with your kindness, with your understanding, with your patience. Those characteristics don't come anywhere but from Jesus. Have you noticed they don't come from the world? This is the hope of glory. We proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. If you're wise, you'll understand who you are and what you're doing. So that we may present everyone perfect. Jesus and God looks at you as being perfect. Nobody else is going to. They like to find your flaws, but they don't count. If you're perfect in the eyes of God, in the Lord, and in Jesus, that's all that matters. And then it says, in this end, labor, well, it's going to be labor some days, struggling with all the energy which so powerfully works in you. Anytime you overcome anything that's thrown at you, it's because there is a mighty power of God working in each one of you. And think about it. Thank God for that. Thank God how He has blessed us. Thank God He has chosen you. Thank God He has offered you the gospel. Thank God He sent His Son of Jesus to live how He knows that we have to live, how we were created to live, and how we can live by the power of God through the Holy Spirit. I've taught this book I've taught for about 40 years, maybe, and I still go back like I've never read it before. And it is amazing how much new truth, when you think that you're as old as you are, and I'm not going to learn anything, let me tell you, I've learned more since I was 70 years old than I did the first 70 years of my life. Because I've had a very good teacher, my Lord. you have got to stay close to the teacher. And that's why then when I send out these things to you, I sit down after I've done all of that, and I study like you do. And I write out from the scriptures everything that I have learned this time by studying this. It takes time. So take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. And those words are so sweet. I'm sure you can find them on the computer and listen to them too. He's a source of love, faith, and hope. And he, when he produces in the gospel, you know, Rob and Christy with their kids, it's just amazed me how the example that they've set. And I know when they took off for Greece when Caden was 9, two little girls going into among the refugees. I didn't know it was scary. They get on and off airplanes like I go to the grocery store. The only thing, they get off more than we do. But this, what they're doing now is hoping to spread the gospel to every country. So when that goes, the end of time will come and they can go see Caden. You have got power you do not realize you have. If you know Jesus, and his power within you, you are a child of God. And don't ever forget it. And when somebody starts talking about one of your sisters or one of his body, you just go deaf or you defend it. So, teachers, come back and preaching a little bit to you this morning.
Thank you for your word. Thank you for our teacher, G, that tells us just what we need to know, and by the Spirit, Father God, thank you so much for this class, for all these wonderful sisters that love you so much and come here weekly to gather and just hear about your marvelous love for us. Remind us all how much you love us. Remind us that we are never alone, no matter what is going on in our lives. We are never alone. You're always there. We just need to call on your name, even when our hearts cannot pray. Just call on Jesus. And I know, we know that you are there, holding us, helping us, guiding us. Holy Spirit, thank you so much that you lead us to just keep coming to your word. Lead us today as we go through the day, all of us that need to just be a light to the dark world, because there is a lot of darkness out there. Guide us, Father, in your ways, to teach others to love you just as much as we love you and more. We praise you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for Jesus who came to redeem us, to bring us back to you. That's how much you love us, his sacrifice. Wow. We are just so in awe of your love. We love you. We thank you. We praise your name forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.